Today on the Covenant Eyes podcast, we will be talking with Jeff and Marcia Fisher. Jeff was a pastor and a church planter who was secretly caught in pornography addiction and lost his job as a result. In today's portion of the interview, Jeff will briefly share about the day his sins came to light.
And I started getting calls from my director and then from a mentor pastor friend saying that they wanted to meet. The director said, "We have lists of all of these bad sites that we're gone to."
In addition, Marcia will talk about how Jeff's addiction had been affecting their marriage up to that point and how she felt the day Jeff lost his job.
Their exact instructions were for Jeff and I to take a leave of absence from the church and then just not come back. I think they were very concerned that word would get out and that, you know, Jeff would be one more pastor who had fallen and that there'd be a stigma attached to this new church plan. It was kind of like getting hit by a train. You know, you just in an instant see your dreams kind of collapse.
You won't want to miss this story on the Covenant Eyes podcast. Over 2 years ago, you and Marcia were working for a new church plant. But all the while, as you were involved in Christian ministry, you were also nurturing a secret addiction to pornography, at least
right.
Secret to most people. And one day you were confronted by some of the staff members at this church. And can you talk a little about that day? Talk about that red folder day.
Well, I had been working at a denominational office, and we had a computer that was, for a while, unprotected. And I did have a problem in the middle of about a year into working there. Started to slip into searching for images and then porn on the computer. And just out of guilt, confessed that to Marcia and then to my director. And we talked about it, and I got a very stern warning that if that happens again, then I'm fired. I had similar conversations with my wife. She said, "Well, if this happens, then, you know, we pretty much are done in ministry here in Buffalo." So I had that looming threat. We did put filters on the computer. And I think I had a period of sobriety for a while, but eventually, because of what was inside of me, because of the lust and the fantasy, I started slipping again, like I had many times before, and just went on kind of some binges of searching different times. And I eventually stopped working at that office, but the last week I was there, they had gotten a new computer in preparation for the new secretary that was going to be there. And
sure.
I just had a real binge on the computer because we didn't have a safe computer and thought I had erased everything. You know, you think that you have covered your track well enough, but God knew what needed to happen to blow the whole thing open. And I really do look at it as God blowing the thing open. And it was probably about a month and a half after I had left the office. I was becoming a full-time church planter. And everything was going very well for us on the ministry side. And I started getting calls from my director, and then from a mentor pastor friend saying that they wanted to meet, and they couldn't talk about it now, but it was very important. And you know, I kind of thought the jig is up. What had happened, it was the end of the summer, 2007, mm-hmm. and I was invited into the office, and they just came out pretty quickly and said, "We had some trouble with our computer. We brought our computer guy in to check, and we found a lot of bad stuff. What do you have to say about that?" And they had a red folder that the director said, "We have lists in this folder of all of these bad sites that we're gone to." Mm-hmm. And just the thought of that, Luke, was just horrible. The folder was never opened. for me to look at and to be confronted. But the conversation with the director and the pastor was very difficult.
Their exact instructions were for Jeff and I to take a leave of absence from the church and then just not come back. They did not feel like we should share specifics with our church. They just wanted us to tell the church that we were having some family problems and step away.
Marcia, what was your thought? He came home from that meeting, and what was going through your head when he told you about that meeting?
Well, it was kind of like getting hit by a train. You know, you just in an instant see your dreams kind of collapse. We loved being in Buffalo. We loved our ministry there. We loved our church family. And we loved our house and we loved our neighborhood. And I knew it was all over. I knew we were going to have to leave. And I was so sad and so shocked and just kind of paralyzed by the heaviness and the weight of it all, of just our whole world was getting ready to change. I pretty quickly went into survival mode, as far as that's kind of how I deal with pain and stress, is kind of manage my way through it. So
right.
I started making a list in my head of things that we needed to do and the order in which we needed to do them. You know, we needed to put our house up for sale, but we needed to say something to the church leaders before we did that, because they would see the sign in our yard, and we needed to start finding new jobs. And, you know, there was just this whole list of things that we needed to do to, I guess, soften the blow on our family.
Now, what was the need for the move? Because, I mean, it was to leave the church is one thing, but you guys moved states away eventually. Why did that happen?
Part of the complication was that we were planning a church in our neighborhood, and we were very active in our community, and the thought of living in our community and me not being a pastor and trying to heal and survive,
right.
I didn't want my wife to have to suffer with that either. I thought it would be much more difficult on my wife, because she was very much a victim of my sins. And it was hard enough to have to step down, but then to keep living in the area right where we had the church seemed that it would be too emotional.
Our denominational leaders asked us to leave the area. I think they were very concerned that word would get out, and that, you know, Jeff would be one more pastor who had fallen, and that there'd be a stigma attached to this new church plant.
It's hard for a young church. Our church plant was only a year old. We had been working toward the church plant for 2.5 years, but the launch of the church happened the year before, and we were quickly approaching our one-year anniversary, and that's just an incredible hard thing for a young church. I mean, we trained up the leaders from scratch. We baptized more than half of the people. They were very concerned, I know, about whether or not that church plant would survive.
Sure.
And thought it would be better for us to be out of the picture.
How had his pornography problem and his sexual expectations in general, how did those things affect your marriage up to that point?
Well, Jeff had shared with me a couple times previously in our marriage that he had struggled with this, and we had put different roadblocks in place. I was certainly aware of it, and I don't think I realized the impact that it was having on our intimacy until we started getting counseling after we moved.
Sure.
I always kind of thought that Jeff had a very high sex drive and I had a very low sex drive, and that was, you know, not that uncommon. What was happening, though, is that Jeff, you know, his sex drive was being amped up by all the pornography.
Sure.
I was not engaged, but it didn't really seem to matter to him, so I would pull away, and You know, we just had a very, very unhealthy intimacy in our marriage, and had no idea that it was impacted by the pornography. And I would say it was a cycle. I would be distant. Jeff would feel unloved. He would seek pornography. The result of that would make me feel more distant, and it was like that for, you know, the sad part is it was like that for 10 or 11 years, and if we had only been willing to talk to a counselor sooner about it and realize that we didn't have to live like that, you know, that's just so sad to me.
We had so many areas of our marriage that we thought we were doing so well in, as far as our keeping our schedules balanced and our church ministry and our family, and even having success in our ministry. It's really deceiving because a person thinks that their marriage is fine, and, well, there's this sex area that we kind of get by on, but I don't know that we really knew that there were red flags going on. You know, I didn't see myself as addicted. I thought addiction was for those people that are really bad or in jail for, molestation or things like that, or, you know, really bad type of things.
Right.
I had been struggling with this lust problem and fantasy and masturbation before our marriage. And I honestly, Luke, I viewed it as a weakness and didn't see until the bomb dropped that it was bondage.
You've been listening to part one of Jeff and Marcia's story. In the next portion, Jeff will talk about the cycle of porn addiction and what he has learned over the past couple of years about the root of his habitual sin. Tune in next time to hear more of his story. I am your host, Luke Gilkerson, and you've been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast.